There's a drive to center field. Ellsbury back. He looks up. It's gone. Anderson absolutely drills the first pitch.
You're listening to The 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo, and that is the new voice Sox fans are hearing for home games. Jason Benetti, the Homewood, Illinois native and lifelong Sox fan, is now living his childhood dream of being a sportscaster. And he joins us now. He's on the line. Hey, Jason, welcome to The 21st.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. So I know the Sox are in third. It's been an up and down season, and we're going to talk about that. But I feel like I have to start by asking you about basketball and the huge Chicago sports news today that Dwayne Wade is leaving the Miami Heat to go to the Chicago Bulls. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think it's really cool to have a local guy once again. I mean, it sounds very familiar. We've had a lot of that going around the town these days, but a local guy coming back who, you know, loves the town, loves the Bulls. And I did think it was funny. I saw Doug McDermott posted on Instagram his jersey with the number 3 on it being Dwayne Wade's jersey. And he basically said, McDermott did, it's all yours, take it away.
Which was a very nice welcome. That's great. Well, I know Chicago sports, I would say, definitely are a little bit of a religion. And you grew up in Homewood. Do you remember your first Sox game? I imagine it was at Kaminsky Park.
So what I recall from my first Sox game is, and I think people know this by now, that my walking is a little bit different than the average person. And I recall my first Sox game, I was sitting in the upper deck. And as I was going into the upper deck, I was like, you know, can I hold on to you, Dad? And I remember very vividly my dad giving me a piggyback ride down the stairs at U.S. Cellular Field's upper deck. But I remember so many games. And the thing that sticks with me is, and this is kind of a strange memory to have, but the park smells the same. Like the Italian sausage.
Does the cell still smell the same then?
What's that?
Does the cellular field, does that smell the same?
That's what I'm saying.
It does. Okay.
The scents in the ballpark are the same. I mean, it's like the Italian sausage and the bratwurst and the onions and everything combined, and then suddenly you get the smell of popcorn every once in a while. But it's like the same park that I went to as a kid, which is really – I noticed that day one this season, and I was like, man, this is wild.
So, Jason, I have to ask you, do you think Wrigley Field does not smell the same?
You know what? Here's the thing. I haven't been back to Wrigley Field in a couple years. Last I went, Len Casper, the TV announcer for the Cubs, is a friend of mine. Last I went, it was a couple years ago, 2014, and I was up in the press box. And
so you can't smell anything in the press box.
Well, yeah. I mean, I went to Wrigley as a kid, and I've been there, and you know, it's a fine, great place to watch a game. But the scent of U.S. Cellular Field with the food is this very memorable thing for me.
Spoken like a true Sox fan, Jason. You mentioned walking a little bit differently than other kids when you were little. Can you explain that for people who may not know?
Yeah, so I have cerebral palsy, which I've been very fortunate in terms of what it affects. It affects my gait, my walking, but I have no pain. I'm basically stress-free with it. The only thing that I deal with is perception in some ways. And I think, you know, as the days and years go by and people understand what I'm doing and why I look like what I look like and people ask questions, I think people can get around it fairly easily. So, yeah, a lot of people with CP have it much worse than I do.
As a kid, did you think because of your cerebral palsy you wouldn't be able to be an announcer? Because I know this was your dream that you had as a kid. Did you think it would affect that?
You know what? I never really did because I was too dumb to think about it. The point being, I did radio. To start, I was not a TV announcer until 5-6 years ago. I was mostly a radio guy, and I think that's why I got started in radio is because that's where the inhibitions are gone. You know, you sit down and nobody sees you, and that got me comfortable with the microphone. And then moving on, I ended up doing more TV. So no, I didn't. There were times where, you know, it takes a little more convincing for people to understand that maybe I can do the job as well as somebody who can, you know, walk into a room straight or look directly at the camera. But, I think there are a lot of people out there who are very willing to look past the first trait they see.
Do you have a preference of TV or radio, or now because you're doing play-by-play, it's almost like you're doing radio, right? Because people aren't necessarily really seeing you that much.
Here's the great part of TV. The great part of doing a game on TV, and I love radio too. I love the description. I love using the English language to tell you about things that you can't see. I think that's fantastic, and I'm glad that podcasting is growing again and as sort of a second form of radio, because I think the theater of the mind is a beautiful thing. But TV is this wonderful opportunity to watch a game and talk about the game. You're much more of a commentator when it comes to the game, and you take in big spots and you let the crowd tell the story. And there are so many strategic decisions in a baseball broadcast in terms of when to talk to your partner, how to have this conversation, what question to ask. Do I need to ask a question right here? Will it happen organically or whatever happens? There's so much opportunity to expand your mind over the course of especially a baseball game, but a television broadcast on the whole, that I really do love the challenges and the excitement of both.
Jason, can we talk about your high school for a minute? Because I want to ask, what's in the water at Homewood Flossmoor that produces so many great broadcasters? What is it, you think?
You know, I remember the water fountains being exceptionally cold at
8:00. Ah, okay.
Cold water. Here's what it is. For so long, Megan Tipton and Bob Comstock, Megan was the TV czar and Bob was the radio czar, but they are, you know, use the word czar and that seems to be heavy-handed. They are wonderful people who were so welcoming to kids who, you know, every day after school, there would be a group of us, and it was a rotating group on a day-to-day basis that would tape video shows and tape radio shows and be live on the radio and do all of these things. So, I mean, it was the teachers at the time, and they've both since retired, but WHFH and VTV still live on at Homewood Flossmoor High School, and rightfully so. I mean, I was at the radio station, for example, the day that the Columbine shooting happened, and I vividly remember being in Mr. Comstock's office.
Wow.
And essentially taking this thing in while I'm writing the sportscast for the day. I mean, but it's essentially a second home for all of us, whether it be Lawrence Holmes or Scott Merkin or Ben Bradley or whomever it is. I mean, you miss some when you make a list, but Chuck Garfine as well, who I work with on the Sox telecast, that it's this place where you can go and you can learn to be an adult while doing kid stuff, but also very adult stuff.
Well, there's even a WHFH tie to how you ended up in this job, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's... I was flying in for this 50th anniversary of the Viking Broadcasting Company, which is the overall umbrella of WHFH and VTV, and I happened to call the White Sox on a suggestion from Len Casper, the Cubs, and he said, you should just call the Sox and let them know that you're interested. And I called, and I left a message, and Brooks Boyer, the marketing guy for the White Sox, called me back and says that he's interested as well. Will I be in town at all? And I said, well, actually, in about a week and a half, I'm going to be flying in for this banquet in Homewood. And so I went to the banquet on a Saturday. I interviewed with the Sox on Monday, and that was what started the ball rolling.
Jason, when I got my first show a couple years ago, I feel like I definitely spent much of the first year kind of being a little amazed that this was my job. And I would even hear before, I would be sitting in the studio and the newscaster would be like, coming up, it's the afternoon shift with Nyla Budu. And I'd think, oh, that's me. Do you feel that way now?
You know what? It's this combination. It's this very odd combination of being exhilarated every day because it's the ballpark that I grew up going to, and tamping down that exhilaration because I want to make sure that I'm doing the job of a baseball announcer. I mean, baseball is such a long season. It's 162 games, and some days you're going to lose big, and some days you're going to win big, and everything in the middle is going to happen too. And so if you get too up for anything going on in a baseball season, I think, you know, leading up to the really big moments, I think you're probably overselling it a little bit. And sometimes I do that in a game because I think it's a big spot, but it turns out to not be a big spot. So that's something I've been kind of batting back and forth with myself every day is, you know, I don't want to be a kid in a candy store. However, I am every day. And that it's an interesting dichotomy.
Well, I also feel like I have to say, I don't know that the Sox have really helped you this year because I feel like it has been a little up and down. And I wanted to ask, as we're just talking about the game itself and the team, first of all, who do you think's been the biggest surprise this year since seeing the team in person for you?
Biggest surprise? That's always an interesting question because you have these preconceived notions of what people are going to be. And to me, the neatest thing is I've seen Chris Sale a lot on television, but I had not seen him extensively in person prior to me coming to the White Sox. And Chris Sale's an All-Star, and he very likely will start the All-Star game for the American League, or at least has a really good shot of doing it. Maybe not very likely, but certainly likely. Watching him pitch and watching batters' reactions to his stuff in person and watching him throw on the side and watching the way the ball moves out of his hand, it's not a surprise numerically what he's doing. But for somebody who's only seen him on TV or only seen him from afar, to see what he does is absolutely magical on the mound.
So as you mentioned, the All-Star break's coming up. The Sox have quietly, I think, just won the past five series in a row. What do you think the Sox need to do in the second half of the season here?
I think win all of the games. I mean, no, here's the amazing thing.
And how exactly should they do that,
right,
Jason?
No. I am being glib for no apparent reason. The thing about this season has been, and you mentioned it, you alluded to it, they go off to this rambunctiously great start, and then they go into this second portion of the season where they're losing a bunch of games, and now they're 11-5 in their last 16, and they've won those five straight
games. And everyone's afraid to say, is this going to stick?
Right, and so what ends up happening is even specific portions of the team, you say, like, oh, do they need a better bullpen, or do they need better hitting? Well, the hitting has been outstanding the last 2 weeks, and the bullpen in April was like a historically good bullpen. And then in May, the bullpen was not good at all. And then in June, the bullpen was better, and now it's been really good. And the hitting is off and on. And that's a baseball season. I just think they need to adjust as well as they've adjusted in this 16-game stretch. If they can keep up that level of adjustment and avoid that kind of nadir that they had about a month and a half ago, that's what would carry them to the playoffs rather than any specific portion of the team doing anything, because I think it's just a matter of making sure to be steady.
And it's tough, as you said, because it is such a long season, as it's interesting to think of your perspective on it as you're calling the games. And I'm just wondering, I mean, do you think there are any weaknesses the Sox have? That do you think there needs to be a trade or two, or what do you think about it?
You know, I don't think it's – here's the deal. I mean, James Shields, Miguel Gonzalez as starting pitchers, those two guys struggled some about a month ago. When James Shields first came over, he got knocked around his first three starts, and people were saying, well, do you send him to the bullpen? What do you do? And the Sox said, well, wait, let's see what happens. And he has gotten significantly, appreciably better. So I think the weaknesses have become the strengths, and the strengths have become the weaknesses. I think the one thing that you see as the lineup is stacking, and part of the reason Robin Ventura had been using two catchers in the starting lineup recently was because they don't have enough, at least on certain days, left-handed bats as compared to the rest of the league. So if you're looking just from a lineup construction perspective, the one thing that you would see that would be missing at points is just a left-handed bat to give pitchers a different look.
Are you allowed to make predictions for the rest of the season, can I ask?
Oh, I can predict anything.
Okay,
I very
likely go.
Be wrong.
So are you going to make one?
Sure. Yeah. What are you
for the rest of the season? How are the Sox making the playoffs? How far are the Sox going this year?
I feel very comfortable saying that they're going to be right in it down the wire, in September. Whether it's the American League Central or the Wild Card, this seems like a team that has staying power in the playoff race. I can't tell you how it's going to shake out, but I do feel like that this team, not only is this team in its current iteration primed to be in it, but I also think Rick Hahn, the general manager, and everybody in the front office is ready to make a move if a move presents itself in terms of adding a left-handed bat or a reliever, which everybody needs at some point leading up to the trade deadline. So I think this team is going to be in it to the end of the season.
Jason, really quickly, we have less than a minute left. What advice do you have for kids out there who want to end up where you have?
My greatest piece of advice, I would say, is find people who are really good at what they do and ask them how they do it. Find people who are exceptional teachers and let them teach you. Don't be defensive, which I went through a lot in terms of, you know, I walk into a room, people discount me, whatever it might be. If you really take people's advice to heart, especially in a creative industry, I think you'll figure out where you belong.
Jason Benetti, calling home television games for the Sox. Hey, Jason, great to talk to you. Thanks for being with us.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.